And once again, I have forgotten my cordless mic. I'd never even thought about it until about 3 minutes ago. But this is fine. The pulpit is fine. Thanks, Tanya. The scripture lesson this morning, as has already been alluded to, comes from Luke, the 18th chapter. I want to share verses 1 through 8 with you this morning. Let us go to God in prayer. Most gracious, loving God, speak to us now. For we, your children, have gathered here this day with the hope, the expectation, and the faith that we shall hear the word of the Lord proclaimed in our midst this morning. But that will only happen, O Lord, if you come upon us through the power of your Holy Spirit, that by your grace and by your grace alone, the words which are read and shared at this time would be for us this day your living word, for you are the living God. Speak to us now, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I invite you to stand in body or spirit this morning for the reading of the gospel. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And you may be seated. How many of you, if you have siblings, how many of you are the oldest, the firstborn? Raise your hands. All right. How many of you are, quote unquote, the baby of the family? Okay. How many of you firstborn children resent us babies of the family because we had it easier? Raise your hand. Honest now, honestly. I'm the baby out of four. Even though I came along fairly quickly, Mom was 25 when she had me, she was tired of having to fight that constant battle with the kids over what they were going to eat for supper. I was, and to a certain degree, remain a very picky eater. The story is told that when I was in kindergarten, a letter was sent home from my teacher to Mom, said, "Dean doesn't eat anything at school." So we started taking the lunch. Took a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Not too much longer, another letter came home. "All Dean eats is peanut butter and jelly sandwiches." Because by the time I came along, Mom had already had my three sisters. She was tired of fighting that battle. And so she simply said, if I didn't like what was on the table for supper, I knew where the peanut butter and jelly was. She was worn out to a certain degree. by having three sisters. They messed her up. Not me, they messed her up. That story, that memory came to mind in the context of the reading for today, because it's the story about that widow. It's a simple story, we know it fairly well. The widow kept persisting, bugging, pestering the judge, wanting justice against her opponent. And we know that eventually the judge gave in to her, that he yielded to her persistence. And the gist of the story is that we are to be persistent in our life of prayer, that eventually the prayers will be answered, we think, we hope, in some way. But I think what we often overlook is, remember that Jesus makes it very clear, God is not the judge in this story. The judge, in fact, is said to be unjust. And so while we take to heart this notion of persistence in prayer, we struggle a little bit. Or at least I do. Because how many of you have ever prayed with all your heart and soul and that prayer was not answered? Am I alone in that thought? Am I the only one to have experienced that? And I don't mean something trivial. I don't mean finding a parking spot at Walmart. You know, I don't mean something as irrelevant to life, like a sports outcome or getting what I want for Christmas. I mean praying for life, praying for healing, praying for that young parent not to be taken from their children by disease. I mean praying for, yes, justice, and yes, peace. We celebrated, or at least I hope you did, the news of the peace agreement in Gaza. And while we are so grateful that the carnage, at least for the moment, has come to an end, I can't help but think about those families of the hostages, because not all of them came home. Do we think for a minute that those families weren't praying without ceasing for their safe return? The difficulty that I have with prayer, and I've had it for my entire ministry, is it doesn't always result in what I'm asking for, what I think should happen. And you can't help but ask the question why, or at least I can't. And there is a part of me that I confess struggles with this whole notion that through prayer I can persuade God to do what I want God to do. I'm not really sure that's the type of God I want. I'm not sure that's the type of God the world needs. Because there are times I'm very grateful that God doesn't do what Dean wants necessarily. Jesus makes it very clear when he tells the parable. He says at the very beginning in verse 1, I told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Right? We need to hear that. We need to hear that, that we are called not to lose heart. As is often the case, Danya in the music team has nailed the message as well as anything I will say. In the opening song this morning, I don't know if you caught it or not, but the phrase was, when triumph is still on its way. You hear that? We are called, we are encouraged, we are invited to pray when triumph is not here yet, but it is still on its way. That should give us hope. That should give us hope. So, we have this parable telling us to pray without ceasing, but we still have the difficulty of praying without ceasing seems sometimes rather pointless, doesn't it? Oftentimes, when we look at the parable, we're going to place ourselves in the role of the widow, right? We go to God, we pray constantly, we pray every day. Our loved one is still sick, our loved one is still dying. The world still seems so unjust. The peace in Gaza is great, but how long will it last? What about the struggles, the conflicts that still plague the world? The violence that we face, even in our own land. Can we really persist? Can we really hang in there when it seems so fruitless? The parable, though, makes the point that the widow, even though it had to be a little bit embarrassing to keep going to the judge day after day after day. You know, there had to be mornings when she thought, I'm not going to bother today. There's no point. And yet, again, the point of the parable is to pray always and to not lose heart. But I do think that there is another way to look at the parable and the whole notion of prayer. I think there is a fundamental flaw in most people's understanding of what it is to pray, because we think the purpose of prayer is for God. The purpose of prayer is not for God, it is for us. I firmly believe that we pray not to change God's heart, but that our own heart just might be changed. Debbie Thomas, you know that I read her just about every week on the scriptures. She comes at it from always a creative point of view. She almost always will give me something. I hadn't thought about that. With regards to the Luke text for today, she talks about the possibility. She says that, first of all, prayer finally is a great mystery. We can't know why some prayers are answered quickly and many others are not. We can't understand why our earnest pleas for justice hit the wall of God's silence and sometimes remain there for weeks, months, years, or lifetimes. And yet from the heart of this bewildering mystery, Jesus asks, will I find faith on earth? And she says that just perhaps the parable, we should maybe view ourselves not so much as the widow per se, but perhaps as the judge. Jesus in the parable says that the judge is a man who neither fears God nor has respect for people. Does that ever describe you? I mean, we think we have respect for God, but do our actions reflect that? How much do our lives, do our daily lives, not here on Sunday morning for an hour, but how about the hours during the week that's going to come up that we're about to enter into? How many of those hours will reflect our fear and respect of God and people? She writes that there are so many times that we are indifferent, irritable. We lash out at folks because we're in a bad mood. Scripture, she says, attests to the fact that God not only hears the cries of the helpless, but that he dwells with the unseen, unheard, unloved, and unwanted. And sometimes, doesn't that describe us perfectly? We feel like we're unseen, we feel like we're not needed, we feel like we're unwanted. She writes that the truth is the judge lives in me. And if the parable this week has anything to offer, it is that prayer alone will wear down my inner judge. It is through persistent prayer that my heart can soften. It is through persistent prayer that every obstacle I place before God, my fear, my shame, my woundedness, my inattentiveness, can be dismantled. In this sense, prayer is first and foremost for me. Prayer is the fist that breaks down the doors of my own stubborn and sinful resistance. Prayer is what enables the light of God's compassion to illuminate the darkest and most suppressed and most oppressed corners of human life with hope and compassion. You hear that? Prayer is not so much to change God's mind as to change our mindset. Prayer is not to get God to do what we want, but to enable us and to help us to do what God wants. Prayer is that empowerment for the followers of Jesus to, in fact, follow Jesus. To take his example seriously. To move beyond mere words and pious platitudes, but to actually take to heart his call for mercy, compassion, and justice. It's not an easy task, because so oftentimes we approach prayer thinking we're going to change God. And the reality is, we are the ones that need to be changed. We are the ones that need to yield to God and to trust, that the triumph is still on its way. And that is the good news that I shared this day, that the triumph is still on its way. And I invite and challenge us to be a part of that triumph through the faith we have in Jesus the Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.